I'd like you to open your Bibles again at chapter 11 of Hebrews. And as we were speaking last Lord's Day evening on the fruit of the Spirit, we continued on with it this morning, and we looked at one of the fruit, and that was the fruit of love. And now we are going to look at the fruit of faith. And in Galatians chapter 5 it says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." And how important this fruit is. We looked at it this morning and we saw there were 9 fruit, but they all were in the singular. And each one is just equal to the other. And the high that whenever this fruit comes upon us, it gives us love and it gives us joy. And it enters the moment we're saved. That moment we come in repentance of our sin, the Holy Ghost enters in. And the produce of that is the fruit of the Spirit. And here we see it in these two verses, 22 and 23 of Galatians 5. Is love. We love the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind. God sees our love. We see it ourselves. And others see it. And the same with joy. The joy of God's wonderful salvation is tremendous in our hearts. We should be filled with joy and thanksgiving. For now, once we were lost, but now we are found. And for peace. And what great peace there is in God's salvation. To know that all our sins, each and every one of them, are in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered anymore. Our sins were all wiped away because of the death of Christ on Calvary. Long-suffering. Now how we have to be patient. The fruit of patience comes into us. Sometimes that's very difficult for us. We need to have a patience in the Christian life. And gentleness. We ought to be gentle. This is a fruit of gentleness. We should not be given to fightings or strife in any way. But we must be gentle even to others. And then we have goodness. We have to live in goodness and do that which is right. We are not supposed to do anything that is wrong. Because that is not the fruit of goodness. We'll always desire to do that which is right. And then we have meekness. We should be meek. Not puffed up, but meekness before God. Realizing that we're only sinners coming before Him as we worship Him. And meek to others. And we think too of temperance. And how temperance is important. Temperance in our living. In matter, for example, in our food, our drink, our temperance is very important. And even in our material ways, we should be temperate in all things. That is the fruit of the Spirit. But tonight, we'll concentrate on faith and how important faith is to the believer. This great and wonderful fruit, we've seen it in chapter 11. What is faith? Well, faith tells us in the very first verse, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Or it is the assurance of things hope for the proving of things not seen. We know, but we cannot see. We know, but we cannot see. That's a very simple way of putting it. We know there's a God. We know, but we cannot see Him, because God is a spirit. We know God created the worlds. We look around and see God's great hand of creation, even in this lovely, beautiful island of yours. And how lovely it is. And we see God's creation. But we didn't see it being created. And we know there is a heaven. But we cannot see it, like Abraham was a pilgrim. But he couldn't see heaven. He couldn't see the end of the journey. And we surely cannot see the end of our journey. And this is the fruit of the Spirit that we have. We know God has prepared for us a place. And we're marching on to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. The city of God. What great faith that we have through the Spirit of God. I'm going to look at it in three ways. It'll be familiar to you because it's the same three points. And I took it this morning. You would have thought that would have been an easy sermon to do, but it took me right up to last night, a whole week, to prepare these. I just found it very, very difficult. The first one is the upward fruit of faith in relationship to God. The upward fruit of faith in relationship to God. The second one will be the inward fruit of faith in relationship to ourselves. And then thirdly, the outward fruit of faith in relationship to others. But first, let us look at the upward fruit of faith in relation to God. And it is saving faith. That is our first fruit. Faith. Saving faith. Through the Word of God. In Romans 10 and verse 17 it says, "So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." It's the Word of God. It's the Bible. That's how we know about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, said, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Jesus. And how is important the Word of God is, even from a child. I was away last Tuesday evening, and it was the most southern psalm singing meeting in the world. And as I sat around with those at the table, there was over 20. And it's just how wonderful it was whenever the Bible study was going on. And questions were asked. And who did answer the questions? But young children, that size. And they're able to read the gospel. They're able to read the Bible. Because they were taught it as a child. This is wonderful. And this is the importance of children's work. And whenever Ralph comes here, you'll see yourself the importance of having a children's work. And bringing the children of Kingston so that they too can hear the Word of God. It's very important. And then we see the law in the Word of God. The law. And in Galatians 3 and verse 24, it tells us, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." The law was so important in our lives. The Ten Commandments were so important in our lives. The law of God. The law taught us that we were sinners. And we cannot save ourselves. And we're lost. That's what the law is. It is our schoolmaster. And you know what a schoolmaster's like. I know whenever I was at school, they had the cane then, and you had to do what you were told, and you listened to the schoolmaster. And how great, when you look back, what a great blessing that was. Just to be taught discipline. Discipline is a tremendous blessing. But today we don't have that. I do work at home in education. And I hear many teachers speak about it. And there's difficulties. We're interviewing teachers for a post. And that's one of the questions you would ask them. But then you can't put discipline today. But the schoolmaster of the law of God is still here today. And he's telling us that we're born in sin and shaping in iniquity, each and every one of us. We'll look at Mark 10 and verse 17. And what does Mark 10, 17 tell us? It tells us about a young man, and he was rich. The rich young ruler. This man was well used to ruling things. And in verse 17 of Mark 10, the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching, and he was preaching. And this young man came up to him, and he ran to Christ, and he said, "Hey, good master." Remember how the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." But of course our Lord Jesus Christ is good, because he is God. And we see that in that verse 18, it was the Lord Jesus Christ that asked that question, "Why callest thou me good?" We don't hear of any reply to that question. He didn't realize that the Lord Jesus Christ was God himself. And here he comes up, and he says, "Oh, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? How can I be saved? How can I be sure I'm going to heaven?" And he says unto him, what did he say? "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honour thy father and mother." Young man answered, "Sir, from my youth I have observed all these things." And Jesus looked upon him, and he says to him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and take up the cross." Come and take up the cross and follow me. That young man had riches. He had money. What was he going to do? Was he going to give all that away? Oh, how Satan was working in his heart. He wanted to be saved. But he didn't want to come and follow Christ. You see, the commandments were brought before him. This was the schoolmaster. He realized he was lost sinner. He realized that the commandments couldn't save him. Being good couldn't save him. And then whenever Christ said to him, "Come, take up the cross and follow me." And how many people today hear the word of God, hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ saying unto them, come unto me, all ye are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. This is the words that Christ is saying to the sinner, to the unsaved. Is any in our meeting tonight not saved? This is the message that I have for you. Come to Christ. Realize that you are a lost sinner. Come and repent of your sin. Forsake it and start tonight and follow Christ. That young man went away sorrowful. When I think of that young man, oh, how sad it is. I remember giving the gospel tract out at a football match. Give it to this young man. And it said how to become a Christian. And he went in. And about 10, 15 minutes, the man was in eternity. In eternity. Message of Christ. Oh, and how you would see this young ruler. He had no fruit. No fruit. And then in Galatians 3 and 25, and this says something else as well, which is very important. After that, faith is come. The Holy Ghost, of course, and when a person gets saved, the Holy Ghost enters in. Remember the night I got saved, I never thought of all my sin. I just wanted to get right with God. You see, the Holy Ghost changes your life. It's not you yourself. See, it's the gift of God. It's the Holy Spirit. He changes your life completely. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. Some people today say to themselves, I could not keep it. And you know something? They're right. They cannot keep it. But the Holy Ghost enters in and He keeps them. He changes their life. He looks after everything. After the faith has come, we are no longer under the law. We are under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Isn't that something wonderful? Something so special. We're now children of the Lord Jesus Christ on our way to heaven. Does that mean that when we are saved that we do not have to keep the law or commandments? That's the question that I ask. You know, some people seem to think, even in Christian circles, that because we're Christians, we're saved and born again, that the law was forget about it. I can understand people who think that way. Because Paul said in Galatians 5 and verse 13, brethren, ye have been called into liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. And of course in that great chapter, 1 John chapter 5 verse 3, when we are saved, if we love God, what do we do? We keep His commandments. We keep the commandments of God because we have the fruit of love in our hearts. And we do it because we want to do it for God. And also, His commandments are not grievous. That they're not a burden. So the law of God, the Ten Commandments, is still applies to us today through the fruit of love. I should have mentioned that this morning. But that's the way it is, through the fruit of love. The fruit of faith and upward fruit in relationship to God. Now, secondly, we have the inward fruit of faith in relationship to ourselves. That is a working faith. And how important it is that we're saved. When we get saved, we have a work of God. And as it says in James chapter 2, a lovely wee book that I really think is tremendous, and in verse 26, for as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith and works are joined together. We must work when we're saved. We just can't lie back in a settee or sofa and say, oh, I'm saved, I have nothing to do. That's whenever it starts, when life starts. And what an exciting life it is. I'll tell you a wee bit about it next Lord's Day evening. And we see Abraham, in which we read here in chapter 11. He brought Isaac to the mountain. And there Isaac asked his father, where is the offering? His father said, God will provide himself a lamb. That's the words he said. Here we see Abram's great faith. His great faith. Because God said to him in the 17th chapter of Genesis and verse 19, he says, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Remember this. Abraham had a working faith. He knew God would provide a sacrifice. He knew because God said to him that Isaac would live and he would have seed. So he knew within his heart that God was going to provide a sacrifice. And here we have a type of Christ in the Old Testament. So many times we see it. And how Abram was willing to sacrifice his only son to Sarah. And how whenever he came and he put Isaac on the altar and he was about with his knife ready to go into his only son. And as his knife was up, he still had the faith because God had told him he would provide a sacrifice. Right through, and then a voice came from heaven, laid not a hand on the lad. He looked, and there was a ram in the thicket. God had provided the lamb. It's just the same he's provided the Lord Jesus Christ as a lamb slain on the cross in Calvary for sinners such as we. Oh, how wonderful that we see the fruit of faith, of faith also in prayer within ourselves. When we come to pray, and we pray in faith, believing, it's no good coming and praying and saying, Lord, can I have this? Lord, can I see people saved? Oh Lord, my family's not saved. Lord, we need something done here in the meeting house. We need children's work. We need young people's work. We need other types of work to get the people in underneath the sound of the gospel, a working faith. When we come and pray those prayers, we must come and believe that God can do that. That he's able to do all things. There's absolutely nothing impossible with God. I could stand here tonight and tell you wonderful things that God is doing in my life. Oh, how we must come with faith in times of sorrow, in times of trial, times of tribulations. We all get them some time or another. But we have faith in God. This is the fruit of the Spirit. To have faith in God that He will look after it. And everything is in His will. He knows. He's everything planned out. Things just don't take by chance. So we have to have the fruit of faith within ourselves. Our time is almost gone, but we'll just look very quickly at the outward fruit of faith. And we see in the sixth verse of Hebrews 11, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Oh yes, we need to please God. There are many ways that we can do it. But one way of pleasing God in connection with others is, we read in the scriptures that through the foolishness of preaching, the foolishness of preaching to them that believed, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching. Oh, people think that preaching is a silly thing to do, and only fools do it. But this is a way God has ordained for the gospel to go forth. And we have to have faith and to please God to bring the message to others. Of course, preaching is important, but there's many ways of preaching. You can preach the same way as I'm preaching here tonight from a pulpit in a congregation. You can preach in the open air meetings. You could go and give someone a gospel tract, and the message of the gospel that sinners need to be saved is in that message. You can preach through your life. As I said this morning, our bodies are a living sacrifice unto God. And this is one of the best ways of preaching, is being a witness and having the fruit of the Spirit come out from you, so that people can see, oh, there's something different about this person. That they've been to Jesus. That they're born again of the Spirit of God. And they'll desire maybe to be like that. Oh, how important that we live a holy life, that we please the Lord and have the fruit of faith to bring us this message and to preach God's word. So we have our upward fruit of faith in relationship to God, to the relationship to ourselves, and the faith, fruit of faith to others. Noah had great faith in how he preached. You know, Noah never saw rain. He didn't know what it was, and yet he had to build a boat. And how was the land going to be flooded? But he built the ark, and he had faith. And he preached to others. He was a preacher of righteousness, the Bible tells us. And he preached to others in faith. Yes, he only saw 8 people saved. Not everybody was saved. He only saw 8 people out of the whole world. But God had provided salvation for them. Let me say, Christian friend, in closing tonight, the fruit of faith is so important to us. As it comes from us, faith, worship unto God, believing in God, faith in ourselves to do work for God. Are we able to do anything? And faith to believe that we are witnesses to others, and that through our testimony, the preaching of God's word, that others will be saved born again of the Spirit of God. And as always I say, if there is anyone not saved in our meeting tonight, do pray that the Holy Spirit will still come and convict you of your sin, bring you to the place of repentance, or you will forsake all and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the work of a servant of God. I can't lead that person to salvation, but that's the work of the Holy Ghost. But I can point the way to salvation through God's Word. Do pray that the Lord will bless and deal with me.